Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, I'm your host, Evan Sider. I'm joined by co-host Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSider. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. And also make sure to follow our Locked On Suns Twitter page. We are already at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support of ours very much appreciated, as always. This is actually the first time in a while we're doing this, Brendan. We're recording in the middle of a game. There's about 8 minutes left in the game. The Suns are trailing by 30 points right now, 117-87. And we were talking about this before off the air, Brendan, but I think this is might take the cake as far as one of the most embarrassing performances of the season so far for the Suns.
Yeah, it's a long list. It's tough competition at this point of getting to that top spot of most embarrassing loss. So there's definitely some other games that can be up there. But this one seems, in my memory, I don't think I can think of one that was just all around as bad as this. There's a lot of different things you can point to. I think mainly the thing that started it all off, of course, is how physically the Clippers have been playing Devin Booker tonight. And this is one of the ugliest games of the year for him individually, for sure. As we're recording here, he's 2 of 10. For 10 points and doesn't, I don't know if he'll get too much more than that. I don't know if he'll play the rest of the night. So that's where it started. And Tyler Johnson's still not really getting his legs under him. I think he's still really adjusting slowly to getting moved. And I think that process is getting to him a little bit. So between those two, there was just nothing else the Clippers defense had to pay attention to. And things just cascaded downward from there.
What really kind of worries me, though, for after the All-Star break, looking past this game for a moment here, you've lost now 15 straight games, and really going to the All-Star break like this, though, Brendan, like I think that's really something that is going to hurt this young team, because you really can't go in an All-Star break with this kind of loss like that.
Yeah, I mean, every team you can say, oh, they need the All-Star break. Of course, that's the point. That's why it exists in the middle of the long NBA season. But in this case, I think it will be paramount that they get over it. You know, this isn't a thing where they're going to be able to come out and continue to be lethargic and continue to have this lack of execution that has really plagued them and expect different results. It's going to be a matter of them adjusting when they get back. And we can make the excuse of having players out, but that's been the case all year. That's the case for every team throughout the entire season. I mean, the Denver Nuggets have the best record in the West or close to it. And they've been missing guys all year. The Warriors didn't have their starting center. You know, there's all the way down. So it's not that simple, and it will have to be a major change when we come out of the end of February here.
Yeah, right now it's looking really rough for the Phoenix Suns, now 15 straight losses. The New York Knicks have lost 17 straight, so those two teams are really giving each other a run for their money as far as consecutive losses go. Looking ahead here to the stats, Brendan, I'm just looking currently at them, 60.6% for the Clippers from the field, 50% from three. That's just incredible efficiency for the Clippers. And you look at the Suns side of things, 26% from three, 6-24 overall. They already have 15 turnovers with almost 7 minutes to play. So really nothing. And even look at the box score as well. I mean, you could tell this is a blowout loss.
Yeah. And Danilo Gallinari is probably the other guy we should mention here as far as what went wrong for the Suns. He didn't blow up right away, but he's just killed the Suns this season. And every time they've played the Clippers, he's been the biggest reason why the Clippers have won. And one thing I do want to hit on here is this. We talked on after the Kings game when we recapped it on Monday that Nemanja Bjelica is not the kind of player that you adjust your game plan for, and Josh Jackson starting as kind of the power forward, so to speak, doesn't matter so much just because Bjelica is not that great of a player, not a game plan changer. Gallinari is. Was it surprising to you that the Suns didn't do anything differently with a guy like that, the Clippers' best player now, especially with Tobias Harris out of the building, just went forward, same old game plan, and Josh Jackson got killed, got three fouls early in the game, and the Suns just had no answer for Gallinari?
Yeah, that kind of confused me a little bit there. They had Mikhail Bridges on Landry Shamet to start things off, and I think this is the kind of game, especially when you consider Danilo Gallinari and his scoring prowess. I think even though Igor doesn't want to do it here, but Kelly Oubre Jr., I think for size and athleticism and defensive reasons, he has more bulk than Josh Jackson. I think that's kind of the guy you'd want against Danilo Gallinari. But even when Oubre was matched up at points against Gallinari, it didn't really seem to matter.
Yeah, that was the stretch when Oubre finally got a chance was, there were several because Jackson was in foul trouble, but Oubre was on him when he nailed those three consecutive three-pointers in the third quarter, really blow it open, put the lead at 30, where it really has stayed for the rest of the game. And that was shocking to me. I mean, that is one thing. I know there's a constant debate on Twitter and wherever that, is it Igor's fault? I don't even care whose fault the whole thing is, but tonight a big reason why this team lost this game is because they didn't have an adjustment to counter Gallinari, even knowing with two games worth of evidence that he has been a real nightmare for the Suns all season long. And I think, yeah, Oubre is one guy, but I know treating Dragan Bender as some sort of saving grace is a recipe for disappointment, but that's a guy who you would at least would have wanted to see before the game was out of control. And we didn't. Bender checked in with a couple minutes left in the third here, and it was really too late to do anything. I don't even think Gallinari was in the game anymore.
No, I don't think he was either. And they kind of sent out their bench mob around the end of the third quarter as well. And it's really rough when you just see it as well. Just nothing went right for the Suns tonight. And especially Landry Shamet early on, he had his way, a couple of threes early on. But one more general thing I want to hit on with you before we go into our next time, Brennan, is just the communication aspect on defense. And that's one thing that I've noticed. I mean, I was at the Flagstaff with Kellen Olsen for a couple of days, and what really threw me off for a loop was how vocal it was in there when I went up to Flagstaff and how everyone was talking to each other on defense. But especially tonight and in the last few weeks, there's been absolutely no communication on defense.
No, there hasn't. And the transition defensive problems are coming back a little bit. Not a little bit. They are coming back in a big way. Clippers right now are at 34 fast break points, which is just insane. That's just crazy. So that problem's cropping up again, and a big reason why is just guys not being in the right place and executing, getting back to their man, protecting the middle. You know, simple defensive principles that you would expect this far into a season wouldn't be such a big deal. It kind of reminds you, for people who listen that are Cardinals fans, it's the same kind of frustration of hearing day in and day out just the basic concepts that the coaches and players for the Cardinals would give out of what went wrong in a game. And it's like, really? You guys are professionals. At a certain point, that should mean something. And games like this, it's really tough to even believe that they were executing even the most basic things when you watch and there's just breakdown after breakdown.
Yeah, it's one of the more enlightening losses, I think, from a really bad standpoint, because this game got really out of hand, really all of a sudden. It was 8-point game and then it balloons up to 30. But before we go on to our next seminar, guys, I want to tell you really quickly about our Locked On NBA Twitter. If you're not already doing so, go on your Twitter account right now, follow at Locked On NBA Net. Bert and I both follow the account. Our accounts are also synced on there for your Phoenix coverage. I know you guys enjoy here on Locked On Suns. We have so much other great voice around the Locked On Network, especially Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy, David Locke of Utah Jazz. So many great names out there and so much insider coverage that you really won't get anywhere else. So if you're not already doing so, to get your national NBA fix, go and follow at Locked On NBA Net.
I want to also tell you guys about a new sponsor really quickly here. It's Homie, and it is the best and cheapest way to buy or sell a house as you look into 2019. I know I'm graduating college here soon. Evan's doing the same. And it's kind of scary to even think about doing something like buying a house just because of how much hassle I know there is for people who have to make such a big decision like that. And of course, the money and all that goes along. And really, that's what Homie tries to cut back on. They try to make that process simpler, try to save you money so that it isn't as daunting and intimidating, and that it can be an exciting thing like it's supposed to be when you get to move in to a home for the first time or move into a better home for you and your family. So Homie can sell any priced home for the same low cost of just $199 to list and $1,299 at close. They can also help you qualify for a $5,000 buyer refund and help you get a loan to make the process of buying your dream home even easier. To learn more about my friends at Homie, text Homie, that's H-O-M-I-E, to 88588. Again, that's Homie, text Homie to 88588. Alrighty, I will start us off here. We'll go into our usual segment here for the last two. We didn't really have any positives for the free throws as normal, but we will do flagrant fouls and stat to watch to close the show. But one thing that I would peg here as far as what went wrong for the Suns, I'll try to direct it as little toward the roster construction problem as possible, but it was just not having a counter to the aggressive defense the Clippers played on Devin Booker tonight. Sindarius Thornwell and Patrick Beverley, two guys, were just basically like the big men that historically you just have on your roster to go throw out there to pick up fouls. That was these two tonight against Booker. They were just out there to just mash him, to just beat him up and to make life hell for him. And they did it. I mean, he missed his first like five or six shots, didn't score his first points until there were 40 seconds left in the first half. So, that's not his fault necessarily. Of course, he could have played better on his own, but it's the other guys on the roster making mistakes and not having the ability to overcome that and make plays when the defense was so skewed toward Booker.
Yeah, that was really one of the more interesting game plans we've seen from a team this year as far as going at Devin Booker, and it definitely worked. I mean, when you have a pest like Patrick Beverley as well, who usually gets under the skin of guys who are guards, that's another plus. But yeah, that threw me off a little bit for a loop. And you look at the roster, like you said there, Brent, they're currently shooting 8 of 28 from three-point range. Again, just like last year, this team desperately needs more shooting.
Yeah, it does. And that's why I mentioned here in the first segment that I think one of the biggest problems right away was when Tyler Johnson wasn't making his spot up threes and wasn't able to keep the defense honest in that way of, you know, spacing the floor a little bit, being able to attack closeouts and all that when Booker did have the ball in his hands. I think that will come. And so people shouldn't be too discouraged that Johnson's had a bit of a rough start here. Maybe he's another guy specifically who could really benefit from that All-Star break to kind of adjust to life in Phoenix, even, you know, not to get sidetracked too much here, but we heard with Kelly Oubre, like, you got to find an apartment. You got to, like, Tyler Johnson has kids, like, that adjustment is big. So maybe that changes things here. But tonight, Booker just had no help. And another thing that could have maybe fixed that along the rotation line was, why did we not see any Troy Daniels tonight? Like, why not make adjustments when you're starting to cascade out of this game and the lead is just ballooning for the Clippers? Why not just try something like Bender on Gallinari or put Daniels in there? We saw a lineup with Crawford, Booker, and Johnson on the court today, and still no Daniels.
Yeah, that's one of the more confusing things so far this season. We spoke on it last week at a home game. Just if I was Troy Daniels' agent, and you see these playoff teams like Philadelphia and who just lost Landry Shamet, you see other contending playoff teams who desperately need shooting, like Oklahoma City as well, I would be vouching for a buyout at this point, because Troy Daniels is being really grossly misused, in my opinion, because I know he's a sieve on defense, but I mean, like we talked about before when we spoke on Troy Daniels, whenever he's in the game, he's playing a career best defense. And so I don't see why not, especially in a game where you're down like 30 points, why Troy Daniels is at least getting more run.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. Any fan's guess is as good as ours. We definitely do not have any intel on why it has been such a tough game to even get on the court for Daniels this year. But what is your flagrant foul here?
For me, it's rough because there's so many options here. And yeah, that's kind of sad to say. But for me, I think I'm going to have to go with Tyler Johnson just from a personal standpoint. I mean, there's a little caveat here being that he's really new. I mean, he's barely knows the system yet. And he was 1 of 6 from the field, 1 of 4 from three. He also had 4 assists, 5 rebounds, 0 turnovers. But man, when you're acquired for Ryan Anderson, you're starting and you're playing as many minutes as Tyler Johnson does, this Suns team, who desperately needs some sort of momentum to happen, they need this Johnson Booker pairing to work. And just so far, it's not.
Yeah, it's been rough. And of course, you know, you can talk about all the reasons why he might not be in his right state of mind or just might not have that rhythm yet, but that's not an excuse. Of course, he needs to come out on the court and play, and he just hasn't.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And there's many other countless options I could have said there. Josh Jackson had 5 fouls and 5 turnovers tonight. I could have easily gone with him in 15 minutes. And there's other options like Elia Kobo, Rashawn Holmes of 1-7 as well. So there's
Holmes in particular really had a rough night. Montrezl Harrell is just, I don't think he's used to guys. Like, he doesn't have the skill to fall back on when guys bring the same energy as he does. And I think we've seen that a few games this year where it's like, if you're going to counter his energy with just as much and muck up plays and get on the glass like Holmes does, it's going to be rough for him to adjust.
Yeah, that's for sure. Do you want to move on here to our stat to watch, Brendan?
Yeah, let's move on here. Before we do that, I want to quickly tell you guys about the Locked On NBA show. We had Trevor Booker back on, hopefully future as well, NBA player of the Utah Jazz and Brooklyn Nets and a few other places as well, giving his input on what it's like to be traded at the deadline and some All-Star weekend tidbits and stuff from a player's perspective. So, as always, a lot of great content over on the Locked On NBA show. Same bite-sized format as you love here on Locked On Suns, but obviously the national perspective. Hosts from around the country every day giving you the analysis and insight that you need to keep up with everything in the entire NBA. All righty, let's close here with stats to watch. And I think mine's going to, not to show my hand, but mine's going to be that fast break points is just crazy. 34 for the Clippers. And I mean, that's something that they do well. We saw Shai Gilgeous-Alexander get out in transition several times tonight. We saw, you know, Patrick Beverley doing his thing with 3 steals and a lot of the young guys on the Clippers just out hustling the Suns. And there's a lot of things that the Suns did tonight that you can't overcome, but that's a really big one. To give up almost 40 easy buckets like that is really bad.
I don't know what else to say, but 40 fast break points is just simply an embarrassing stat. You're a defense and you have to look at that later on the plane. Like that's uncalled for, in my opinion. 40 fast break points. Wow. That's still crazy. Even said that, like, wow. But for my stat to watch, I'm going to go here with the 3-point differential. And it's a pretty crazy one right now. There's about 30 seconds left in the game. The Suns are trailing by 27 points. The Suns are shooting 26.7% from 3-point range, 8 for 30. Well, the Clippers are 11 for 22 at 50%. Like, that kind of tells you all you need to know as far as tonight's game goes and really speaks to how better constructed as far as shooters go. I mean, you have Landry Shamet, Lou Williams, you have Danilo Gallinari. You have so many plus shooters on this team. And when you're not playing good defense, those guys will just torch you.
Yeah, looking at those shooting numbers, I think the best way that I can sum up this entire thing, my number might actually just be 134. That's the number of points the Clippers scored. Come on, 134 points. You're not gonna win a lot of games doing that when your defense is that bad and you're giving up 60, 50, 80 shooting splits to the opponent. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's really rough to think. I've said rough so many times in this podcast, but there's really not much other way to describe this game as it just went final here, 134 to 107. Brent, do you want to hit on anything else before we end today's podcast for this game tonight?
I don't think there's much else to say, no.
No, I'm right there with you. So appreciate you guys listening in, and this is now 15 straight loss for the Phoenix Suns. We'll have an All-Star break, and don't worry, guys, we'll still be around here on Locked On Suns throughout the All-Star break. So until then, guys, talk to you.